Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. What an incredibly difficult year. And it's only half over. A world-humbling virus has threatened our lives and taken the lives of those around us. 152,000 people in the United States alone. We have been challenged by quarantines and lockdowns, months of isolation, deprivation, and handicap. Nearly all of us are living with elevated levels of anxiety and depression. Nearly all of us are struggling with the data, trying to make wise decisions about how we should respond to the pandemic, to care for those we love. We have made difficult decisions, doing the best we can, and wrestled with the feeling that our best might not be good enough. The national GDP of the United States is down by 33% in the second quarter of 2020, the worst economic slowdown at least since World War II. What that number means in human terms is record unemployment, with tens of millions of people wondering how they will eat, how they will keep a roof over their children's heads. And add to all of this the sight of actual, undeniable video of a black man murdered on the street by a white police officer. In reality, this is nothing new or unusual, but some of us, particularly those who might identify as white and middle class, some of us were able to ignore such reports because they didn't accord with our understanding of our nation as a place of liberty and justice. Until finally, the reality was pushed in front of our noses in living color and action and sound. And that was hard to see, no matter what color your skin. 2020 has been a difficult year, a year like none other in memory. What are we supposed to do? How am I called to respond? The gospel tells us that even in trauma, God is present. Even in the guesses and the second guesses, God is at work with us and for us. In today's gospel reading, Jesus leads us into dealing with challenging times in three basic steps. These steps are compassion, prayer, and action. Compassion, prayer, and action. First is compassion. Our gospel reading today begins, "Now when Jesus heard this," immediately preceding our reading today, you see, Jesus heard some awful news. Terrible news. Jesus' cousin, John, had just been murdered. The person who baptized Jesus and prepared the way for him was the victim of an extrajudicial killing by a government official. John's head was hacked off with a sword. That's why Jesus got into a boat and tried to get away to a deserted place. He needed some time and some space to mourn, to lament, to try to get his head straight, to figure out how to integrate this difficult news, to figure out how God was calling him to respond. But Jesus didn't get any time to himself. God called him to respond right away. The crowd followed Jesus and arrived before him, and Jesus, when he saw them, he was deeply moved. Jesus knew his own deep pain, and that pain helped him to feel compassion for the crowds and their pain. And so Jesus went to them, and out of his own pain, he served the crowds, healing their sick. Compassion is what happens when we take our own hurts and injuries, and we acknowledge them, and we learn from them, and we extrapolate from them to realize what other people are feeling. Compassion does not mean dismissing or minimizing our own pain and fears. No matter whether we live in plenty or in penury, in privilege or in persecution, we each hurt. No two hurts are alike. It doesn't help to compare your hurt with someone else's hurt. Each of us feels things differently. Each of us has our own struggles. But absolutely, your hurt can be the basis of relating, of empathy, of compassion. Compassion for ourselves, in right measure, leads us to follow the example of Jesus, leads us into compassion for others. So after compassion comes prayer. This is what we see when the disciples follow Jesus' example of compassion. And they have pity on the crowds, and so they speak to Jesus. They pray to Jesus about the crowds. They pray, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But here's the funny thing about prayer. Jesus could have dismissed the people. Out of his compassion, Jesus could have fed the people single-handedly. He could have turned the rocks into bread for the people. But that's not Jesus' thing, is it? Instead, the disciples receive an unexpected answer to their prayer when Jesus tells them, "The crowds don't need to go away. You give them something to eat." Often we think of prayer as us giving God marching orders, right? Asking God to do something on our behalf and then waiting for God to act. You might say we try to change God's mind with our prayers. But I have found in my life that my prayer often seems to change me more than it changes God. Through persistent prayer, my goals and expectations, my desires and priorities are brought into alignment with God's own intentions. And so I learn to see as God sees and to respond as God calls me to respond. Now sometimes God answers prayers by bringing about miraculous changes in the world around us. Sometimes God answers prayers by bringing about miraculous changes inside of us. God often seems to do both or either in response to prayer. Prayer which opens our eyes and our ears and leaves us on the lookout to see how God is going to choose to respond. Occasionally, God responds by parting the waters. Often, God responds by transforming our hearts and our minds, so that in us, God's will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. So finally, we turn from compassion to prayer to action. And sure enough, the disciples act. They do what Jesus commands. They share what little they have. And surprising them, but not Jesus, the little bit that the disciples have to offer in response to Jesus' calling turns out to be enough. It's more than enough. More than 10,000 people sit down and eat their fill, leaving 12 baskets full of leftovers. Where the disciples felt inadequate, Jesus took their offering made in faith and provided amply. Sometimes I find my own options for responding to sickness, to death, to monetary need, to food insecurity, to be insufficient. I feel like I can't do enough. Even now, I find my own understanding of what in the world is going on in this pandemic and how I am called to lead at St. Thomas in response to be too faltering, too ambiguous, too unsure. Every day, I find my own understandings of race, my education about white privilege, my own courage to confront white supremacy and the racism that is ingrained in my own heart to be too limited for the enormous task at hand. And yet, says Jesus, yet, just as a tiny mustard seed can become the largest of all garden plants, so God can and does take the meager little bits that I have to offer and use them to accomplish important, meaningful change in my heart and in the world. Jesus' invitation to us today is to nurture in our own lives the practices of compassion, prayer, and action. These things may look weak or unimpressive to those on the outside. These are not the tools of power we normally see at play in our life together as a body politic. But these are the tools given to the church as we live into our calling to be the body of Christ in this time and place. These are the tools given to you and I as Christians. Jesus could have chosen to change the rocks into bread. God can change the world in any way that God chooses. The way that God chooses to work so often is through us. What we bring is enough. God heals the world through us as we engage in lives of compassion, prayer, and action. Amen.